stand and look at the Word of God, there is so many things in this old world that man
as being true. But man's truth, they can change according to the man and how that he wants to change them. But I'm thankful that I've got a book. It's called the Bible. It's the Word of God. And it don't change. It stays the same all the time. And I'm thankful for this Word. And I want to look at some things tonight. I want to look at being a disciple, serving the Lord, and I want to look at the word discipline, because one thing in this whole world that's short these days is discipline. People want to do what they want to do. Doesn't matter where it's right or wrong, where it feels good, feels bad, just do what you want to do. This is the kind of world that we are living in. And I like to look things up. Because see, sometimes I think I know something when I'm not as smart as I think I am. So I like to sort of have some backup on things when I look at it. And I shared this with you one time before. I've got an old dictionary at home I had when I was just a little boy. And it's an old thing. And I like them old things. I still like the old things. And I looked up the word disciple, and this is what it said in that old dictionary. It said, one who receives the teaching of another, a follower. And I looked up discipline, and it said mental or moral training, subjection to control, chastisement, train to obedience. And these are some pretty hard things when you look at those things. To be obedient. Because it's just not in our nature necessarily to be obedient. We want to sort of do what we want to do. And on the word discipline, it said mental or moral training, subjection to control, trained to obedience. Before I get into the service tonight on the book that I want to look at, I want to look at some writings in God's Word that Paul wrote for us. First thing I want to think about and stuff is on a disciple, it said one who receives the teaching of another, a follower. Now I want to look first of all in the book of John, chapter 14, in verse 26, and this is one of my favorite scriptures. It always has been. Jesus was speaking here, and he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now Jesus was making a promise here. He was going back to the Father. He came into this world for one reason, and that was to die on another rugged cross and shed a precious and a holy blood that fallen man might be saved. But he was not going to leave us alone. The Bible says, and Jesus speaking, he said here, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you teachings of another, teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. I'm thankful that I've got the Holy Ghost tonight indwelling me. I'm thankful that I've got a teacher, not in this world, but a teacher from above. I'm thankful that he reminds me of all these things. The psalmist David said, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have a Comforter, the Holy Ghost. I don't know what this whole world is going to bring upon us in our lives. They may come a day when they take the Bibles away from us. But I'm thankful that I've got the Holy Ghost to remind me of what Jesus said. The Bible didn't say here that he would teach you some things, but he said all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm thankful for that teaching. I want to look in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 31. And I'm going to talk a little bit here about discipline before we get into the other part of the lesson tonight. Paul, writing here, he said, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Paul said, "I die daily." This old man, this wicked old man, in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, in verse 20, here again, Paul writing, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said here, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but," he said, "Christ liveth in me." And he said, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, in verse 1, Paul writing again, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, Paul has been writing here in these scriptures. He's talking about dying daily. He talks about crucifying this old flesh. He talks about, "I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." We in a world this day that is blind. I'm talking about blind. It wants nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a church, brothers and sisters, in this day and time, the Laodicean church, which we ourselves, so many times, we don't want to be disciples or we don't want to be followers. I think about these things and I look at these things. Now, I want to just talk to you about this. Just talk to you plain. We think if we can sort of soothe ourselves or satisfy ourselves, because we look at Sunday morning, and Sunday morning the church is full. It's full. And come Sunday night, maybe we got half the people. Then Wednesday night, it's a little bit less. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I believe, I can't tell you about you. It's like Brother Ken was talking about a while ago. I can't tell you about you because I don't know you. When I say I don't know you, I mean I've never been in your flesh. I've never been in your heart. But I can tell you about Lee because I know Lee. I'm with Lee all the time. If you don't see Lee at church, Lee's probably being sorry and laying out. Now, I'm just telling you like it is. I'm not beating around the bush. I'm just telling you the way that it is. You come to church on Sunday morning. What are we doing? Are we trying to soothe our souls to say, "Well, we've made an effort here"? I'm talking about being a disciple of the Lord. I'm talking about having discipline to do what the Lord would have us to do. Paul said here in Ephesians 4 and 1, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." And I looked that word vocation up and it said calling or occupation. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been called. First of all, you've been called to salvation. He reached out to you by the Holy Ghost, convicted, condemned you of your sins, called you to be saved. But the Lord doesn't want to stop there. He's got a calling for each and every one of us. Now, that's not something that is just going to necessarily pop up to you and tell you what that is. These things, sometimes you have to seek the Lord by prayer. Seek Him and He shall be found of you. If the Lord sees you searching and seeking for His will in your life, He's going to answer that prayer. You can depend on that. So I've looked at things here now that we've talked about being a disciple. I want you to remember what Paul said. He said, I die daily. You can't live a Christian life within yourself. You can't do it because we are sinful by nature. We are sinful by nature. The only way you're going to live a Christian life is you have to let that happen through the Lord. You have to, as Paul said, die daily that the Lord might live through you. It's not going to happen in this old flesh. But you're going to have enough discipline about you to make yourself die every day that goes by. Because this old flesh is here. Paul said in the book of Romans in chapter 7, I know that in me, that is according to my flesh, there dwells no good thing. No good thing. Paul said, I would find then that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And I don't believe he was talking about the devil. I believe he was talking about this old flesh. Because this flesh is ever present with us. Ever present with us. I'd like to go now to where I want to try to teach from tonight. And that's in the book of James. I've shared this with you before. That I grew up in the Church of God. And the Church of God teaches that once you're saved, if you sin, you fall from grace and you're not saved anymore. Now, they teach that you can make mistakes. Now, I'm not sure what the difference is between a mistake and a sin. See, I believe what the Bible says is true. When the Bible said, and Jesus speaking, talking to about a man and a woman, and he said, you have read it, it has been written, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that he that looketh on a woman and lusteth after her in her heart, he has already committed the deed. Now there I was, a young man, saved at a young age, grew up, got into the teenage years and stuff, and then all of a sudden this old body of mine goes acting crazy, and I still believe what the Word of God says. If the Bible said you commit adultery, if you've got a wrong thought in your mind and stuff, if you're lusting, oh, I've got trouble. See, I thought that it was the preacher's job. I thought that it was the teacher's job to teach me the Word of God. To preach to me the Word of God. As I got older and stuff, and I began to think and look at things, I said, you better start reading some of this stuff yourself. Because see, I had never taken time to read the Word of God. And I began to read. And I got into the book of 1 John. And there I began to read and stuff what the Bible says. And John speaking, he said, if we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And I said, this cannot be. Because this is not what I've been taught. You remember what I said a while ago about the Holy Ghost? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said. Now listen, there's good preachers, there are good teachers, but you better set your heart, you better set your mind, you better set your eyes, you better set your affections on the Lord and on the Bible and not on man. You better spend a little time reading God's Word and studying God's Word yourself to see what God's Word says. Because when I read that right there, that stumped me. How can this be so that this disciple who served the Lord and walked with the Lord and leaned on His breast and said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray You? This same disciple that stood at the foot of the cross and Jesus looked upon him and told him, He said, behold your mother. This same one said, if we say, including himself, we have no sins, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And I began to read that Bible and began to read that book, and I said, surely, surely this book of 1 John is a book of love. Lord, have mercy. How precious that word was to me. Because I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, just as surely as I could not save myself, I cannot keep myself. Because I am nothing but a wretched and a failing sinner. As I began to read further in the Bible, and I got over in the book of James. Now the book of James is what you call a toe stomper book. You can count on it. I've told a lot of people this. I said, preaching is either an amen or an oh me. It ain't going to be no difference. Amen or oh me. Now listen. Most of my life has been an old me. Because of the wretched, failing thing that I am. If it's an old me, don't worry with it. Don't argue with it. Get in the altar. Get in the altar and make it right. Make it right. So in the book of James, let's start off in chapter 1, begin with verse 12. And the Bible says here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now I want you to look at the scripture. It said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endureth. You're going to have to put some actions in this yourself. You're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to struggle with some things. You're going to have to wrestle with some things. The Bible says, blessed, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Verse 13 said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Listen now. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now I'll tell you something right there. I do not believe that the devil knows everything. I do not believe that. If the devil knowed everything, what happened in the book of Job? The Bible says he appeared before God, and God said to him, said, have you considered my servant Job, that he's a righteous and upright man? And Satan told God, said, why not? You put a hedge about him. You blessed him. All kinds of riches, and you put a hedge about him. So but I tell you what you do, tear that hedge down, take everything away from him. And he'll curse you to your face. So now if the devil knowed everything, he made a mistake there, didn't he? Because Job didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He done what was right. So I believe that the devil don't know everything. I believe he don't know what your weakness in the flesh is. I believe he'll tempt you. Till he finds what that weakness is. And once he finds what that weakness is, he never quits in that one thing. You see, I'm going to tell you something that happens to us on this right here. And I want you to listen to me. See, we see people stumble and fall because of a weakness in their flesh, or because of sin in their flesh, or because of a lust in their flesh. We see them stumble and fall. And if that's not our weakness, and we think, I don't see how in the world you could stumble with that right there. I don't see how you could do that. Let me share this with you. When I was a young man, I say young man, I was still a boy. There was a man in the church where I went. Every time an altar call was given, that man was in the altar. And he was praying. You know why he was praying? Because he was an alcoholic. He wanted to serve the Lord, but the alcohol had a hold of him. Had a hold of this old rotten flesh. And he'd try and he'd try and he'd try and he'd stumble and he'd fall. And he'd come to the altar. Every time it was altar call was given, he was there. And I remember as a young boy, I remember hearing people talking and said, ain't no sense in him just keeping on going that altar. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you now. There ain't no sense in him going on to that altar. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible said, let each, and it's talking about the brethren, said, let each esteem the other better than themselves. You know what that means? That means you need to think more of that other person than you do your own rotten self. You need to think more of that other person. Because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says in the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 1. It said, when you see a brethren overtaken in a fault. Now I want you to listen. I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God. The Word of God is not wrong in any part of it. And every word that's in it is there for a reason. The Bible said, you see a brethren overtaken in a fault, said ye which are spiritual. Did not say busybodies. He said, ye which are spiritual. What did it go on to say? Restore. You remember the man I was talking about being in the altar? The Bible didn't say talk about him and condemn him. It said restore him. It said restore him. And I'm going to tell you something else. The Bible just keeps on going. It just keeps on going. He said restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now we're fixing to hit on this point right here. He said, considering yourselves, lest ye also be tempted. You want me to put that in the plain southern vocabulary of the Bible? It says this right here. It said, if you don't restore that one in the spirit of meekness and love as Christ has saved and restored you, you can just look for tomorrow, somewhere down the road, you're going to fall flat on your face. And what are you going to need? Are you going to need condemnation or are you going to need love? Listen to what God's Word said. See, lead in and write it. Oh, but I love it. And I won't back down from it or what it says because this Word is true. When nothing else in this whole world is standing, this Bible's still going to stand. I'll be dead in the grave, but God's still going to be true. He's still going to be faithful. Bible said every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And I will remind you about that own lust. Let me remind you, there is a weakness in this old flesh. Now we have many kinds, but there is one thing in this old flesh that troubles each and every one of us. Now I don't know what it is for you. I do know what it is for me. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1. It says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, that's more than one. And then what did it say? And the sin. Now we have more than one sin, but there is the sin in each and every one of our lives that really troubles us. And the Bible says, cast aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But the Bible said a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now listen to what God's Word says right there. Sin bringeth forth death. Now let me tell you about the devil, because the devil's an artist. He paints beautiful pictures. I mean, he does. And let me ask you this right here. Now you look on the TV, they'd be showing a commercial, maybe for some kind of alcoholic beverage, and they're having a party. And they're really having a good time. And I'm going to tell you something about that party that they're at. There's not an ugly person at that party. They are all beautiful people. And the devil's tempting people with those things. And you want to look at those things and say, I could fit into that party. And you could. You very well could. But that's the front of the painting. The devil's not going to show you the back of the painting. He's not going to show you that daddy who had a wonderful wife and children and had a good job. And because of the sins and the temptations of this old world, now he's without his children, he's without his wife, and he's laying in the gutter. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now what else are you going to say about that? He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now listen, the Bible says, he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now let's talk about a good and a perfect gift. Because see, sometimes and stuff, we want to look at what is good and what we think is good that may not be good for us. See, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews concerning Moses that Moses chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he chose to suffer the afflictions of his people and to serve God rather. Listen to what the Bible says now. I said the Bible, every word's in place for a reason. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, what did the Bible say? I mean, the Bible said there's pleasure in sin. It is for this old flesh. Now, if you want to put that in plain southern vocabulary, that is, do a hog love slop. I mean, I'm just telling you, listen to what God's Word says and stuff. But every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. See, we want to judge a perfect gift by getting up in the morning, going to the driveway. Nobody knows nothing about it, but there's an expensive car sitting in the driveway with a bow on top of it. Lord, have mercy. God, drop that down from me. We want to look at what is good in the wrong way, but let me tell you what is a good gift. A good gift is when you've been under a load for whatever the reason. And you've cried to the Lord and you've prayed to the Lord. And you've sought His face, said, Lord, I need Your help. I can't do this within myself. I can't fix this. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you think there's no answer coming. And you go on and you go on and you go on and you struggle and you struggle and you struggle. And it seems like there's no end to it. And then all of a sudden, God answers that prayer. And He takes you from the bottom of the lowest valley you could ever have been in to the top of the mountain. And that's by His hands and by His grace and by His mercy. That's a good gift from God. The Lord's good to us, people. If you are at home with your family and all is well, the Lord's good to you. Come the end of the day, and everybody is well and home. That's a good gift and a precious gift. We don't slow down long enough to stop and think about the blessings of God and how good that He is to us. Of His own will begat us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. Wherefore, my beloved... Oh, now listen to me. We're fixing to get on some rough stuff here. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Now, everything in the world you don't need to hear. When the Bible talks about being swift to hear, He's talking about the Lord. Be swift to hear the Master's call. Be swift to hear God's Word. Be swift to hear these things. Not the things of the world, but the things that be of God. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Now, when I read that right there, I think about Sanford and Son. And Fred Sanford made a comment to Esther one time. He said, Esther, you're much too generous. She said, you really think so, Fred? Said, yes. said, every time you open your mouth, you give your ignorance away. So I want you to listen. Slow to speak. Do you know? Now, I don't know about y'all. Like I said, I can't talk about y'all, but I can talk about me. If you really, really are slow to speak, then you don't know what kiwi tastes like. In other words, that shoe polish. You may not have had your shoe or your foot in your mouth like I have time and time again. And don't learn. Oh, I'm hard-headed. My daddy used to tell me, you're so hard-headed. He said, you'd argue with a signpost. The Bible says, slow to speak, and then here he comes again, now slow to wrath. Do you want me to tell you what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite would be me teaching a class on anger management. Jane will tell you, I'm remodeling a bathroom. I'm building new cabinets. And Jane works from home, and her office or her study or whatever you want to call it is right next to this bathroom. And just this week, I was putting in part of the cabinets, and I had a piece that wouldn't fit. Now, we're talking about a piece of lumber. And it wouldn't fit, and I'd cut it to fit. If I cut you to fit, you're going in, whether you like it or not. And it wouldn't go in. So I had a spasm. I'm talking about a childlike spasm. Jane would say he danced out of the bathroom. And then he made a circle around the walls, talking to this piece of board that ain't got no ears. Slow to wrath. Why? He said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Do you know when you get mad, you ain't helping nobody? When you have your mad spells, you ain't helping nobody. If you feel like that mad spell is coming on, you need to find you a place somewhere and sit down, bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord, help me. Because I need help. I need help. He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now listen to what the Bible says. Listen. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Now I want you to listen to what the Bible's saying here. The Bible's telling us to be not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Now we're talking about what? We're talking about being a disciple. We're not just talking about talking the talk. We're talking about walking the walk. Doing what God wants us to do, what is pleasing in the sight of God. The Bible says here that a person that doesn't do that is like a man looking in a mirror and then walking away and straightway forgetting what he saw. What do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see? I mean, you get your hair all fixed up, and for you ladies, you get your makeup on. And what do you see? A beautiful thing. I'm thrilled to death. Or do you see what's really there? See, in a few more months, I'll be 62 years old. And I'm not as old as Brother Donald. I'm not in my 80s. I got a few years, if I live that long, the Lord tarries, to be in my 80s. But I'm a lot closer to my 80s than I am my 20s. So I'm going to tell you what I see when I look in the mirror. I see a wretched failure, saved by the grace of God. That's all that's in that mirror. I don't care how many times you flip your hair. I don't care how much makeup you put on. You cannot hide what is there. And we need to remember when we look in that mirror what we see. We need to remember every day that we live what we are. We need to think about the other people in this old world and try to help them. I shared this with you and stuff. You know how God's Word, the Bible, talks about when the woman was taken in adultery and they brought her before Jesus. You know, there was something missing in that picture to me. Because when you talk about adultery, there's more than one involved. And the Bible said this right here, that they came to Jesus and told Jesus, He said, we've taken this woman in adultery in the very act of it. But the woman was there by herself. And there were two kinds of things going on back then, because here they are. Now these are the religious people. And they're trying to discredit Jesus. We got two laws involved here. We got the Mosaic law, which said she's supposed to be stoned. But the nation of Israel was under Roman rule, and Roman rule said, no, you ain't going to kill nobody unless you have a trial. So they had Jesus where they wanted him, you know. Jesus said, kill her. He broke the Roman law. He said, not kill her. He broke the law of Moses. Bible said Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. And he told them this. He said, let the first among you without sin cast the first stone. And this is what really caught me right here, because this is what the Bible said. And I said, the Bible, every word in the Bible is there for a reason. The Bible said they began to leave. They began with the oldest one there. You know why the oldest one left first? Because he's just like me. He's got a longer road to look back down. And he sees how much he's done wrong in his life. And he says, I can't take a chance on this. I've got to go. I've got to go. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, keep himself unspotted from the world. The Bible says for us, as I said earlier, to look on every man and esteem them better than yourselves. Remember your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about what may be going on in their lives. Because we never know. Spend time in prayer. If you want to know the best thing, if you want to pray for yourself, ask the Lord to guide you and to direct you and to forgive you for your sins. And then pray for that other person that's in need. Because I promise you and stuff, that if you slow down long enough, that's what you want in your life, is someone to pray and care for you. Brother Mike.